And now, live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan, it's Aggie Nation, covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
So it is turning into quite the day, Cease. A busy Tuesday here on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, and back from vacation, Robert Cessna is in the house today. We are brought to you, of course, by MSC Opus, the season that dreams are made of. Check out mscopus.org for all the information on tickets, the shows, what all's coming in. Check it all out, mscopus.org. You can text us, 229-1939. We got a lot to talk about today. That's 229-1939. We're going to see, everyone wants to know what you were up to, what your plans were. But first, we've got all kinds of news coming in
here.
Miguel Herrera out as the Mexico national team coach. That came through a little while ago after punching a reporter a couple days ago. That happened while you were on vacation, so you didn't hear about that one.
No, I did.
Tom Brady's suspension has been upheld by the NFL. He will be gone for four games, meaning Jimmy Garoppolo, I think is his name, will start.
Against my Steelers.
No, more importantly, putting Garrett Gilbert one snap away, one injury away, I believe, from being the quarterback of the New England Patriots. I mean, can you believe it?
If anybody could win with him, it would be Bill Belichick. But
he'll find a way.
I will say,
he'll be the next Tom Brady.
I don't want money in Vegas because I felt the NFL head uphold. I felt anything less than that. The NFL has been so black and white in their decisions, and they've been so tough.
Well, you say
so
that.
Many things.
You say that, and we've got other news rolling in.
Okay.
Right on the heels of the Brady announcement. This one, right up your alley, Cease. Le'Veon Bell's suspension reduced to two games.
Should be two games. I don't want that one, too, because if you looked at past history,
there you go.
It shouldn't have been three.
Yeah, so a little bit, like I said, all kinds of news.
But when Brady's camp wanted no games, you knew that wasn't going to happen. So
no, and we're going to talk, we'll get to all the details of it later on. There's all kinds of the NFL throwing Tom Brady under the bus here, basically. But
to find a cell phone. Got you.
First off, today we should start the show, and I know the guys will talk about it later on the high school report. Today was the second annual Eagle High School Photo Day. We talked about this yesterday. It's one more step on the way to football season. Get all the guys out there this morning. 27 schools were out there at Consol today doing photos, doing interviews. All the TV stations were out. KX, KBTX came out. We all hung out.
The Zone was out there.
Yeah, the Zone. Zach was out there. Did some photos, did some interviews, did some questionnaires, got all the shots we needed for the season. Good time out there to get everybody hanging out, all the local teams getting ready to go.
Much like a mini SEC Media Days, when you get all the people involved, along with some coaches, doesn't feel mini. But when you get that many people, and a lot of effort went in, I give a lot of kudos to Dave Campbell and Larry Bowen. Kelly Brown poured herself into it, our editor. And you see I had laughed to myself a little bit. You look up, if you had one of those cameras like it, 10, 15, there are people everywhere. Then every 15 minutes, people started to move stations and move. And by the time 12:30, they were all gone. You had all these teams there, all this hoopla, and you could tell the guys are talk a little smack. Like, you'd say, oh, that's Madisonville. Oh, that's Brenham, you know, and it's different classifications. That's the only time Brenham might see the Navasota kids. Navasota kids might see the Cameron kids. You had all the state champions out there. Cameron, you had a state championship. And I know Dave and them. Navasota, it's a nice little 50-mile radius.
Yeah, everybody was out there. It was a good time. They'll talk about that again later on in the high school report. But it was a good time out there, everybody. So I want to thank all the high school coaches and all the local media that came
Aubrey
out.
Aubrey Bloom was out
Makes
there.
It, yeah, I made an appearance. I basically run. I was social media coordinator out there. I was taking photos and tweet and stuff like that, but
I was telling people to write plainly as I was in charge of the mug line.
Put you in charge of names? Yeah. Why in the world?
I told them to spell so I could read it.
Well, that doesn't always help.
Doesn't help.
That one seems like bad place. Someone asked already. Someone texted in Cessna sighting. OMG is what they said. Another text saying, ask you, did you start the fire? Now, you weren't in Vegas, so.
No, I went to Florida.
But someone asked if you started that Vegas fire.
No, people know me for several years. There was about a decade, 12 years there. I went to Tahoe religiously. Then the children got too old for the Truckee River, the horseback riding. So then we've been going to the beach the last few years. So I was in Pensacola/Destin. So all those whale sightings off the coast, that was me hitting the water.
Well, there you go. So, was it you got relaxed? You got
did nothing except hit the beach 7 out of the 8 days. We had weather once, and literally that's all I did. I hit the beach, and I must have maybe went to Margaritaville one night. Seriously, I had probably about 4 pina coladas in the whole trip. I played maybe, I would guess, 4.5 hours of poker on 2 nights I went. But other than that, I was on the beach.
Yeah, it was, not much going on this time of year. Now that you've had a week away, you come back, Aggies win the national title. Where you got him at?
It was incredible. I mean, and I will say this to my wife, and I remarked at this. We spent 5 days, 5 of the days on the Destin Beach. And it's amazing the people that have tents that would say Arkansas, LSU, Georgia, what have you, South Carolina, Mississippi State. And the whole time, I only saw one A&M hat. But you could tell it was so SEC. I mean, there was a couple Georgia Techs and Florida State, but Destin and Pensacola, that's SEC country, baby.
There's no doubt about it over there. A lot we want to talk about today. We are going to be joined here in a little bit by Julia Morales from the Root Sports to talk about the Astros. They start a big series tonight with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Now, I was on vacation. That Scott Kazmir trade, I remember seeing him pitch here.
Yeah,
at A&M Consolidated.
Well, we had the
I saw that.
Yeah, former coach on
but
yesterday.
I remember when Consolidated beat him. I want to say Zach Myatt had a walk-off hit to beat Kazmir in one game, and I even drove down to Cy Falls once because they had two great pitchers.
Yeah.
They had Kazmir and Ebers. They had a guy named Clint. I think his name was Ebers. Was a pretty good pitch. They didn't win state that year. They had two first-round draft picks. That's how good baseball is in the state of Texas. But Kazmir is a real deal. Good move by your. By your Astros.
Yeah, we're going to see. They got a lot going on. The Angels, the Royals have been making moves.
Oh.
The Angels are kind of hot right now, so we're going to see. They come to Houston for a 3-game series tonight. We're going to get Julia's take on that, and then also we'll see if she thinks the Astros are done or if they're still making moves, if they're still trying out their. Lots of Astros rumor. Now that the Astros made the Kazmir deal, they're kind of like in on everybody.
You're right.
No one's really sure who they're looking at, what they might be doing. So we will see if the Astros are done leading up to the trade deadline, or if she thinks they might still make some more moves. Later on, Uri will come in here. He'll hang out. We have some more Bombers tickets to give away. You know, I joked on the show yesterday that I always take the tickets out to the front of the building right after the show. And so I joked that this the one time that someone's going to show up during the show and want it. Sure enough, the guy that won him yesterday came by before we were even done.
Put him on the air.
Kroom had to come in here and grab him.
It was Kroom. He was trying to sell him on eBay.
Yeah, Kroom bought him himself and tried to resell him. But we'll give away some of those later on. And then we will break down all of the NFL news, notes,
cool.
Scandals, tidbits, whatever you want to call it. All coming around. By the way, Houston Westfield quarterback Dylan Sterling Cole. It's the guy that A&M was recruiting, so a lot of people were paying attention to that. Just committed to Arizona State.
Who's coming here to play A&M in the opener? How about
Forks up, DSC.
That would be Sean Slocum. He's recruiting Houston, right? Since they hired him.
Go ahead. Arizona State.
How about
that? There you go. A little bit of...
I would think.
Yeah, a little bit of info there for the recruitniks out there as well.
Recruitniks.
Send us your text, 229-1939. What do you want to talk about? What are your comments? What are your takes, your questions, your debates, anything you got? We will settle them, but we're going to go to break. We'll come back. We'll talk about Well, the first thing we're talking about when we come back, Sports Illustrated story on Myles Garrett. That ran today. If you have had a chance to check it on SI.com, we'll see what y'all thought, see what we thought. We'll do that when we come back. So come back with us. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagles, Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
It's summertime and a great time for sizzling hot deals at Normandy Tractor. If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Normandy Tractor. At Normandy Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. And right now, get the best deal of the summer with a Kubota L2501F 25 horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot Land Pride shredder complete with an $800 finance rebate and a $500 cash rebate. Only $11,695 or 10% down in payments of only $156 per month. Normandy asks you, why buy used when you can buy new with prices and payments as low as these? Need to finance? Normandy makes it easy with zero down payment and 0% financing on all new Kubota tractors and lawn equipment. And remember, most any trade can be your down payment. Normandy Tractor, voted best of the Brazos since 2002. Remember to shop the internet specials at normandytractor.com, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Normandy, Texas. And remember, nobody beats Normandy Tractor.
You are a smart person. You know what side the butter goes on. You can't help but bark up the right tree. You even know who let the dogs out. So in your search for the perfect job, why aren't you using AggielandHelpWanted.com, where smart people like you know the easy way to find a local job? Millions of other smart people know they can upload their resume for free in just minutes. Plus, it's smart and mobile-friendly, just like that science guy. So, smart person, use that freakishly large noodle and find a job on AggielandHelpWanted.com. Long name, amazing results.
It's summertime and you're on the go. To camps, sporting events, day trips, or just around town. So make sure you stop in at your neighborhood Rattlers and check out all the icy cold drink specials, or grab a snack of Duke's beef jerky, all flavors only $5.99 a pack. Or pick up some lunch like a delicious fully loaded hot dog, only 79 cents with your registered Rattlers rewards card. Working out in the sun? Then cool off after work with a 12-pack of beer from the fine families of beer from Bud, Miller, and Coors, only $10.99. Rattlers, friendly, clean, Texan.
Welcome to the season that dreams are made of. The stars have aligned for a positively enchanting new Opus season. The main stage lineup features Beauty and the Beast, sponsored by Aggieland Credit Union, Million Dollar Quartet, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Disney in Concert, magical music from the movies, and an opening night concert starring Voice Play, sponsored by Allstate. Season and single tickets on sale now at mscopus.org.
We invite you to join us for the Junior League of Bryan College Station Stuff the Bus School Supply Drive, a community-wide collection of school supplies for the children in our area on Thursday, August 6th at the Brazos Center and both HEB Tejas and HEB Tower Point locations. For more information, visit jlbcs.org.
Listen to the Astros, the Rangers, the Texans, and of course, the Fightin' Texas Aggies. Texas Aggies. Your favorite teams play on the Zone FM 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150.
Now in the street there is violence, and then a lot of work to be done. No place to hang a low washing, and then I can't blame all on the sun. Oh no, we're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher.
Welcome back.
We're gonna rock down to
Ari Bloom, Robert Cessna, it's Aggie Nation. Powered by the Eagle. We're hanging out, talking a little bit of anything and everything. Sports Illustrated's Pete Thamel. Is that how he says it? Thamel?
I think Thamel. That's how I pronounce it, Thamel.
Ran his story today on Myles Garrett, a profile on him. I'm kind of, if y'all have read it so far, what do y'all think? Hit us up, 229-1939. I was, frankly, a little disappointed by this story. There's some good stuff in there. One,
okay,
I didn't
why would you be disappointed?
Well, I didn't know that Sean Williams was Myles Garrett's brother. The guy that played for the New Jersey Nets and was the number 17 pick, I believe, in the 2007 NBA draft. Had no idea they were brothers. But
I don't think I was in his A&M bio.
I didn't know that. But it's. I don't know. I think I was just expecting more of the insight into Garrett. It's a lot about his brother and about how he uses his brother sort of as a cautionary tale. His brother's had some problems off the court, had some marijuana issues, one arrest while he was at Boston College. He ultimately got suspended from Boston College and then hasn't made his way back to the NBA. I believe he played a little bit in 2012 is what the article said, but hasn't played since then. And the stuff there was interesting because I didn't know it, but I don't know. It was an interesting article. Talks a little bit about how he uses his sister, Bria Garrett, who, of course, is on the track team, or I guess the field team, technically, at A&M. But I don't know. I wanted a little bit more of the insight into Garrett as a person than maybe the others. But it, I don't know. It was interesting. A little bit about him that maybe we didn't know. Huge dinosaur nerd, apparently. He said he was going to go see Jurassic World the night it opened. The story, presumably, before Jurassic World.
But here's the deal. People, I think it's a little bit what you're alluding to. Everybody wants to know more about Myles Garrett because that's all you hear right now. And you hear about A&M. Chavis is coming. Defense is going to be great. Why is it going to be great? Because Garrett, he's going to be the next Jadeveon Clowney, da-da-da. We know so little about him because he hasn't spoke. He was, you know, Sumlin's policy of freshmen not speaking. And then even some of the upperclassmen are hard to get to talk to. So everybody wants to know, who is this Myles Garrett? What does he eat for breakfast? You know, what is he, you know, what's his favorite jersey number? You know, what's his favorite NBA player? Maybe now it's his brother. We know that. But everybody wants to know what they can about Myles Garrett.
Yeah, and you know, I will say there's an interesting part of this story where they say that the Larry Jackson, the A&M strength and conditioning folks, have him at a – and I find this number is hard to believe. I am as big a believer in Myles Garrett's athleticism as anybody, but supposedly they have him clocked at a 4.46 in the 40, which is fast.
Put him in the NFL right
that's
now.
That's faster than Manziel.
Yeah, put him in the NFL
if
right now.
If he can run a true 4.46, that's faster than Mike Evans. That's faster than Manziel. I mean, that's moving. And then 38.5-inch vertical. That's getting up there, big fella.
Over 3 feet coming at you, baby. Jumping up, pass over me.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm sure that's a hand-timed 40, not a laser-timed 40. Or who knows? Maybe he really is that fast. But like I said, it's a little bit – it's interesting. It's some good stuff in there. I was expecting a little bit more from – you know, Garrett, what makes him tick as a person. But it's a good story if you haven't had a chance to read it.
I haven't seen it, but I look forward to it.
You can go see it on SI.com and, or in the magazine if you're a Sports Illustrated subscriber. I do think it's interesting the amount of hype that Garrett has coming into this season. I mean, it's been a bit. Maybe Von Miller, but even, you know, he was like a senior that last year. That people had this high of expectations for an A&M defensive player on a unit that people don't expect much of. I think that's what's an interesting dynamic here. People think he is going to be stellar, but the defense, 50-50. I think it's kind of an interesting dynamic here.
But then also, you have to throw in the Chavis dynamic, because would we still be talking this much about Myles Garrett if Mark Snyder was still a defensive coordinator? To a certain extent,
I think we'd be talking more about Myles Garrett if Snyder was
I think we'd be talking 80 to 90%, but I think the positive light that Chavis sheds on this, because he's had so many good players go on to the NFL, I think that only adds to it, because everyone expects he's an All-American now. He's an All-American before he takes the field. He just got to go out and live up to expectations, which we know is not that easy to do, particularly when you're in the SEC West, when those six games are really going to determine how great a player he is, at least in my estimation.
Yeah, I'm trying to read through this thing real quick, because I'm wondering if he there's only a couple quotes from Garrett in here, which is kind of interesting. The story isn't so much about Garrett himself as it is his, you know, the examples he follows of his brother and sister, which I thought was an interesting way to do it, too. But I don't know. He's an interesting player. What is the someone said 38-inch vertical. I drove 36 inches this weekend when I almost stepped on a copperhead. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. I don't know if you can do that on call, though. There is an interesting little – I don't want to read the whole article out. You can go to SI.com. But there's an interesting tidbit in there, too, about him impressing his teammates in the weight room when he first got to campus. I will say the dude is another kind of athlete. We saw that last
chiseled,
year. Yeah. I mean, he's a different kind of player. And it's funny how even A&M, they recruit on a high level. Everyone in the program, all the scholarship guys are, you know, big-time athletes. All of them are big-time in high school. But even that first day of fall camp last year, you see him walk out there, and you're like, oh, that's a different...
That's Miles. Yeah, that's him. That's
he's
him.
Not made of the same parts that me and you are. So
no.
He's got different kind of muscles, I think.
Well, in my time here recently, I think of when Martellus Bennett showed up and walked out. You know, I mean, you look at athletes when you walk out and you go, whoa. So that's... him. Martellus Bennett was pretty impressive walking out.
One thing I also think is interesting about Garrett, as much attention as he gets, and this is my this to sound like a hot take. It's not meant to be, but as a pass rushing defensive end, he could have a great season and the defense could still be horrible. You know, like he's not exactly a I wouldn't call him a linchpin for the defense. As far as who is most important for A&M's defense, where would you put him? I mean, third, fourth?
Because I do expect so much out of him. It's what you're saying. If somebody throws 40 times and he has five sacks, so 45 attempts, he gets four or five of the sacks. They throw for 300 yards. A&M's probably still in trouble.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting because as big as – and he is important, obviously. Any player of that caliber is important. But, you know, I wouldn't say – if you're asking me who are the most important guys on A&M's defense this year, I think I'd probably get through a couple linebackers.
The linebackers come through. Deshaun Hall has a big year opposite him. Can the corners – can you get a shutdown corner? Because
I was going to say Devontae Harris almost would be
When you look at Chavis's best defense, he had complementing players of a great player. You just can't throw one great player out and make his defense go because he wants to put so much pressure on the quarterback. It takes more than one guy, and you got to have guys that can man up because if you don't get there enough, you're going to give up some big plays because that was the knock some of the LSU fans had on Chavis. They gave up too many big third down plays, even with multiple good defensive players. And right now we don't know if A&M has multiple good defensive players.
Who would you say is A&M's most important defensive player going into the season if somebody asked him? Well, I just did ask you.
Well, yeah, I'm going to go with – I can't put one. I want one of those linebackers, whether it's Walker or Otero. One of those linebackers has to come up big time that can help up front and help back because if they have nothing in the middle at all, that's going to be very tough for them to survive in the SEC West.
Yeah, it's a little bit – like I said, it's kind of an interesting dynamic. It's almost like an outside receiver on – he could have – I'm comparing Garrett to that – could have a stellar season, but it almost doesn't matter for the defense overall. I mean, because he could be the best defensive end in the country, and they'll just run the other way if they have to. Or
yeah.
Run inside. Just stay away from him. So,
and it's hard for me to say one player because A&M has been so bad on defense. They were 107th for a reason.
That's kind of like I said, Devontae Harris. What I mean by that is starting corner to be named.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoever that ends up being.
If you can shut one person down.
Yeah.
You can shut.
Maybe it's Wilson. Maybe
if you got somebody that can shut down an Amari Cooper type, you're on your way then.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, it's a good story, though, if you get a chance. Check that out. And Garrett, someone that I know Larry got to speak to. We will have our story on him when our magazine comes out here pretty soon. Larry talked on the show last week. Really enjoyed talking to Garrett. We've gotten to interact with him a little bit because he is a goofy kid. And he'll come around the post-game press conference, our post-practice conferences, and ask questions and hang out and stuff like that.
But yeah, here's the deal is he was so good at an early age in high school. He was exposed to a lot of media in high school. So he already had a way of finding cameras, finding microphones. This was not a shy guy when he hit campus.
Well, and he has a...
He liked the recruiting process.
Yeah, and he's got a you know, there's some guys that are good in front of the microphone. I would say Gerard Johnson would fit this mold. Great interview, but he's not like an entertainer. You know, he's not going to tell a lot of jokes. He's just going to answer what you ask him, and he's great up there. But Garrett has a little bit
Garrett's going to be Martellus Bennett.
Yeah, I don't know if he's quite that level.
He's going to give you the answers. You go like, whoa.
He might, you know, he's like I said, he's a different kind of character. And the story does, again, capture a little bit of that, talking about his love for dinosaurs. Apparently, according to the story, he almost went to Ohio State because he wanted to be a paleontologist. So there
you
go. Yeah.
Urban Meyer lost somebody. It's
well,
hard to do.
Yeah. So there you go.
He's gonna have change up.
Myles Garrett. Yeah. We will see what he can become this season. Is he better, worse, equal to Jadeveon Clowney? What do you think?
Well, his potential is. I got to see it because.
I'll admit I was a Clowney.
If you go back in last year, some of the big games, I know the Aggies will start lighting up the text. He was held a lot of times. Well, it's the SEC. You're going to have to get used to being held. You still got to come through even though you're held. So I'm going to wait and see. He's got way more potential than Clowney, but I want to wait to see that he goes ahead and falls through.
Yeah, I was always worried about Clowney's motor. You know,
exactly.
There's just times that he seems checked out, and Garrett has a little – he doesn't seem to have that. He got frustrated
at times
last
year.
Yeah, he got frustrated at times last year, but you're going to see that from a freshman. Someone texted, "Is Harris the guy that made his tackles while on his back as he was getting run over?"
There you go.
Needs some secondary bad. They were toast last year. Right. That's kind of what we're talking about.
Need a secondary, need linebackers, need another rush end. So other than those seven spots.
Right. Well, and then the one we don't mention is the one that we don't even know who's starting, defensive tackle.
Exactly.
So
other than that, they're great.
Yeah. Well, we know Garrett will be starting, so there you go. Get a chance.
They got John Chavis. Come on, they're paying that guy $1 million a year. He's going to get the answers.
All right, let's switch gears. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk a little Astros. Julian Morales of Root Sports joins us to tell us, maybe a little bit behind the scenes of the Kazmir trade, what the Astros are up to this week, and what the vibe is down there in Houston for a big series starting tonight with the Angels, one of the bigger series in the H in quite a while, Cease, as we get a little bit close. You know, August starts this weekend, and the Astros are still in the mix.
You'll
have to ask her.
You weren't that old. You probably remember when Astros picked up Randy Johnson.
Yeah, 98. That was
like 9-1 when he came here. I mean,
yeah,
he was pretty amazing.
Some people were kind of trying to compare the Kazmir trade to the Johnson trade.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought about.
But the Johnson trade made the Astros like favorites to win the World Series that year. I mean, that was like 100.
Oh, I understand.
That was 100-win Astros team.
Oh, I understand.
Back in 98.
That was a huge trade.
Yeah, so we'll see what the vibe is down there in Houston as things get ramped up for tonight's big game. Let's come back with us. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagles, Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. One person is dead after an early morning mobile home fire at Mobile Town Mobile Home Park in Bryan.
Fire department and officers responded to the residence. There were multiple adult individuals inside the residence, and everyone but one adult female made it out.
Officer Kelly McKeithen says the call came in shortly after 2 this morning and no neighboring homes were damaged. Bryan PD is investigating the cause of death and Bryan Fire Department is investigating the cause of the fire. Developers of a combination student housing and retail complex next to Wolfpin Creek Park now have the option of turning the business space into more apartments. The College Station City Council at its last meeting approved a conditional use permit involving the lofts at Wolfpin Creek at Dartmouth and Holloman. James Benham, who moved approval, says the city has no business getting involved in the negotiations of the last business in the complex whose lease is expiring.
This current tenant's lease is up in August of 2015. I lease several buildings all over the world for commercial purposes, and my expectations do not exceed the term of my lease because I know that I don't own that building and I don't have the right to dictate to the property owner what they do.
Julie Schultz wanted to keep the ground floor retail as originally approved. Based on the variety of apartment floor plans on the loft's website, the 4 retail spaces could be turned into as many as 14 one-bedroom, one-bath units. The next leg of new freeway on and off ramps began this morning. Southbound traffic will not be able to exit at Southwest Parkway or enter the freeway in front of the mall. Meantime, southbound freeway construction will continue between Briarcrest and University for at least 2 more weeks. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM.
Okay, kids, time for bed.
Daddy, tell us a story.
Yeah, please.
All right. There once was a family out on a camping trip in a new Toyota Tundra Special Edition.
John, you're gonna scare the kids.
Oh, come on, Mom.
Keep going, Daddy.
Well, as they entered a mysterious forest, they sensed something was with them in the tundra.
What?
The boogeyman?
Nope. The Bass Pro Shops camping package that was included.
That's not scary.
Oh, no? There was a tent, fishing rods, a tackle box, backpacks, and sleeping bags. All the camping gear they needed. But then, the father discovered the tundra wasn't theirs.
Dad. Fine. We'll go see the tundra tomorrow.
See, kids? That's how it's done.
Now get 0% APR financing for 60 months plus $1,500 special edition cash on a 2015 Tundra Special Edition. Plus a Bass Pro Shops camping package with every purchase. Toyota, let's go places. Visit gstoffers.com for details. Offers available in select states and end 8/3/15.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of those businesses who sponsor the games of your favorite team. Businesses like Cornerstone Home Health, Zwirneman Flooring, The Sleep Station, and Tom Light Chevrolet. Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone HD.
Summer is here, so it must be Harvest Festival time. Make plans now to join the Messina-Hoff Winery family every weekend in August for the 38th annual Harvest Festival. Enjoy grape picking, traditional grape stomping, wine and food pairings, specialty dinners, and so much more. Messina-Hoff's estate winery is located at 4545 Old Reliance Road in Bryan. That's the 38th annual Harvest Festival at Messina-Hoff Winery and Resort. Get all your Harvest Festival information online at messinahoff.com/harvest.
Your home for Houston Astros baseball. Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
So many times there was a man, he met a girl and took her hand. He told her, never will I leave you, my love. But just as soon as he's gone again, she's a flapping in the wind, wondering what she must have been thinking of.
Welcome back.
I've been in and out from
Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna. We're going to get to it, folks. I know everyone is hype to talk about Tom Brady, but we've got bigger and better things to worry about until we get to that. First things first, tonight starts a massive series down in Houston. Julia Morales covers the Astros for Root Sports Southwest. She joins us normally about every other week. But today, with the Kazmir trade going down last week, with the Angels coming in, I texted her this morning. I was like, Julie, we got to get you on the show. It's too much going on. It's too important. Julie, how are we doing?
We're good. Exciting times around here, coming off a day off as well, so everyone should be rested. But it should be a really fun time at the park this week with Angels being here and then Diamondbacks. So good home fan coming up.
What's the, you know, because it's a long season and we're still got a long way to go, but is there a little bit of a different feeling with this series with the Angels, both teams within a game of each other, especially with the Royals out there signing every free agent in baseball, apparently?
Right.
Is there a little bit of extra juice down there you can feel yet?
Yeah, and I can tell, you know, the players and the skipper will downplay that for sure, but they know what's going on. I mean, they haven't seen the Angels in a while. The Astros fans haven't seen the Angels for a while. We've been keeping up with the Angels now. You know, it's every night we got to check to see what these guys are doing, see what Mike Trout's doing. So as far as everyone outside of the Astros clubhouse, I think it is a very exciting week, or very exciting series, because everyone's so into it right now. We got to take advantage of, you know, gluing our eyes to the TV sets for this series, too, because we won't see the Angels again until the end of September. So this is fun. It's just an exciting time in July. I mean, we're almost to August, and we're having a big series at Minute Maid Park. So, I mean, this is good stuff.
Let's go back a little bit before we talk about the Angels and talk about this trade that went down last week. When you were on the show last week, we were talking about Hamels. There was Price, the different Cueto, or however he says it. I can't pronounce it. But
Cueto.
Whatever it is. Cueto. And he's not coming. But anyway, we were talking about all of them last week. It turns out it's Scott Kazmir. What was the vibe when that first went down? What was the excitement level like? And by the time he faces the Angels Thursday, please tell me he'll have a new glove.
He He will have a new glove. Marucci Sports let me know that he is going to get a new glove. I guess, you know, they had 12 hours to get him something, and they couldn't. It was impossible. Poor Scott. I don't even know how he turned around and pitched so well in his debut as an Astros. Of the 24 hours that he had right before taking the mound. And then, can I tell you how hot it was in Kansas City? I could barely sit there and breathe, much less having to go out and compete and pitch well for a brand new team and impress, you know. But no, I mean, that when that trade went down, the players were pumped. They were absolutely pumped. There's a lot of, you know, what happens next when the trade goes down, because they didn't know what roster move was going to be made at that moment. You know, the starters are looking around at each other, like, who's the odd man out here? There's some guys in AAA who, you know, the Overholtzers, the Peacocks who's trying to come back. There's guys like that who are thinking something completely different, because this is a spot that they might have had a shot at. But as for all the position players, everybody that was set, you know, this is very exciting. Their team got a lot better that day. And I think they also have this feeling that the Astros aren't done yet either. I honestly don't think they're done either. We've heard the rumors of them being in on Cole Hamels right now. But I think that was just one piece that Luna's looking at. He's still out there looking for somebody else.
It's got to be exciting for the players to see the front office go, hey, we're ready to go for it. We're not necessarily building for 2016, 2017. We can make a move right now. For the guys that have been around a while, especially Altuve and Keuchel, Castro, some of those guys, that's got to be extremely exciting, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, those are the guys I wanted to talk to first, was the Castro, the Altuve, the Dallas. Just how much different the season has been for them is one thing, and how much fun it is to have a winning clubhouse. But then to have your front office in the way that they are right now, and the rumors that they're following along, I mean, they got to be excited about what they're hearing as far as the Astros being in on Hamels and maybe another bat. Just because of the seasons they've had lately, and the times have changed, and that's exactly what that means when your GM goes out and gets an arm like that. Things are different now, and they're really going for it. And like I said, it's almost August in a couple of days, and there's really meaningful baseball happening at Minute Maid Park, and they couldn't be more thrilled for that.
Well, have you got a chance to talk to Kazmir yet? What's his excitement level like? And I know that professionals are professionals, but was there a little bit of extra excitement getting to come back to his hometown?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I did get a chance to sit down with him. It was the day after the start. I wanted to let him breathe and catch his breath. It was a whirlwind for him that first couple of days, but can't wait to get back home. He got on the plane to come back to Houston. You could just tell he's excited to go sleep in his own bed and be at home for a while. He's already excited about where he's going to live in downtown Houston. Does this mean he's going to stay for years to come? We have no idea, but it's a good start. You know, I mean, we know he's comfortable here. We know he loves it here, and the fact that he's dreamed of being a Houston Astro doesn't hurt either. But yeah, he's pretty pumped to be with this team. Everybody loves their time with the A's. So, you know, when the news came out and you hear the first quotes, it's hard to kind of feel what the player's feeling, just because they've loved their teammates before. You know, it's hard to say goodbye and be so excited about going to a new team when it does come out. But once he was in an Astros uniform and surrounded by the Astros, you could tell he was glad to be here.
Now, I don't know if he would be too excited about it, and I don't know how this would work, but they do have a four-game series with the A's starting next week. Will he probably pitch in that series? I'm always interested in things like that.
Well, that's a good question. Can I do math in my head real quick?
Yeah, they have three games. They have three games with the Angels, three with the Diamondbacks, and then three with the Rangers.
And then we go to the Rangers.
Yeah, so it would be interesting.
How about as far as the veteran Kazmir, that he's been around a while, a young team, how much do you think that's going to help the Astros?
Absolutely, yeah. I think veteran presence always helps. Any playoff experience this team can get is good too, but with Kazmir and his story, the fact that he's had to really battle through some seasons and then, you know, not pitching in the majors for a while, working his way back up, losing his velocity completely and then finding it, how great is that for somebody like Lance McCullers, Vince Velasquez, who haven't struggled yet, but you know there will be a tough time. You know, I mean, it's the majors. Everybody goes through tough times. So to have somebody like him that they can lean on, and he's very approachable, very friendly so far. So I think it's great for those starters.
What's been the, now that he's up and kind of gotten into the flow of things, I already, as a fan, I don't cover the Astros like you do, so I can just flat out say I'm a huge Astros fan. I shudder already at how much we're going to have to pay Carlos Correa down the road. What's been, you know, not only what he's done on the field, everyone sees that, but how has he changed, or how has he, you know, what do you notice about him from when he first came up to now, that he's really gotten into the flow of this? He's an everyday guy and really been one of the better players in the American League the last month or so.
Man, I wish I could tell you that he's come a long way or that he's gotten comfortable, but he was like that day one. I mean, it was the craziest thing I've ever seen. I've watched this team. I've been around this team. And I've seen so many rookies come up, make their debuts, get comfortable in the big leagues. Never seen anyone do it like Carlos Correa, who, you know, the very first day was comfortable with the guys, had a rapport with everyone, had respect. He was messing with guys during interviews, you know, in very fun times. And it was okay. It was just he knew his place coming in. And then the play on the field hasn't changed. You know, I mean, it's, did you guys watch that game in Kansas City?
Oh, it was unbelievable.
And the play he made to send it to extras, it's stuff like that. It's incredible to watch him because you see him make that play, and you don't see a lot of those kind of games anyway with the Houston Astros. We haven't recently. It's almost a playoff atmosphere with that and that moment and what was going on and the big plays and the great pitching that was going on. And then for Carlos to do what he did, And after the game, say the right things. And, you know, and that was the easiest play for me to make. I've been working on that in batting practice. It's unbelievable. So I wish I could tell you, yeah, he's come a long way or he's really coming into his own, but he's not. I think that's who he is. And that's the scary but very exciting part for the Astros, like you said. What they're going to pay him. Good luck with that.
is there a lot of, you mentioned that as media, we're all watching the TVs, but, you know, you mentioned the Angels, they don't play again until the end of September, but they're already done with the Royals, and obviously that's going to be not a divisional opponent, but certainly someone you're watching as far as how the playoffs are going to line up. Is there any of that going on? I mean, do the players even pay attention to the guys that Royals are bringing in? Zobrist just announced a little while ago, also going to Kansas City. Is that something that the team watches, or is that just something the media mostly watches?
Well, you know, AJ Hinch is watching it. You know, I mean, you know, he's probably got matchups in his head constantly when he's not on the field thinking about what's going to happen, especially right now. I'm sure Jeff Luno and him are communicating about guys they can bring in and who's gonna go against their starting pitcher or whatnot. But for players here recently, I think they are into it. They're getting asked about it a lot more often. Being in Kansas City when they got Cueto, a lot of questions started coming in. You know, what do you guys think of this move? So whether or not they want to think about it, they're being asked about it. They have to think about it. But I think it's good for them. I think it's good for just looking ahead, reminding them of what they need to be doing, reminding them of, you know, what the goal is. And, of course, they know, but baseball is such a grind. You know, I mean, the days will fly, and if you just show up to the park, you do your thing. But stuff like that will break it up. It'll help you kind of remind you what you're doing. So, I think they are now for sure.
Last thing, kind of going forward, if a move isn't made, and now you said that you kind of think the Astros aren't quite done yet, but if a move's not made, what is kind of the thing that they need to shore up, and maybe how do they have any sort of plan on doing that right now? Is it outfield? Is it first base? I mean, what's kind of the thing that is, other than the trades, what's in the back of the GM, what's in the back of the manager's mind right now?
The first base situation is going to be really tough. I think Jed Lowry coming back, which could be here in the next couple of weeks, but you would think he'd be getting close. I think he needs to play full nine innings to stay on his feet that long. So once he gets back, I think it'll help the first base situation. Right now, it's every day there could be a different first baseman, and he's given these guys all the time in the world to try to get consistent. It hasn't happened. So, I mean, you can't fault the manager for just trying to find out what's going to fit best at any given day. So first base is going to be huge. Springer's probably not coming back until mid-September. You know, and it's skinny hit. So we're talking end of the season there. You can't just expect that offense to come back and make an impact. Who knows if they're even in it at that point? You know, it's just so many things could happen at any given time. So they'll all have to step up. The pitching's been great. Yeah, the bullpen has been strong. It's just, the first base is what I think the Astros are probably going to be looking at, and you know, just outfield. They need production, and they need to be more consistent.
Julia, we'll let you go. It should be a fun week starting tonight on Root Sports. The Angels coming into town. Someone texted that you need to find a way to get Root Sports on Suddenlink here locally. But luckily for me, I have DirecTV, so I'm not worried about it. We will see you on TV tonight, Yay. Julia. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, guys.
Cease, always exciting to get Julie on and see what's going on. As I said, right before we started talking to her, I saw the announcement, Ben Zobrist mm-hmm. going to the Royals also.
Royals are getting all in, but once again, when I look at the Royals, the A's went all in last year, but you have to remember the A's were buying part-time players. Cuarto is signed through a couple years. Zobrist, you got to look, some teams are making trades knowing they're going to have those guys next year. A good example is going back to Randy Johnson trade. Johnson was a loner because they could have traded him. They could have signed him, but they didn't. Now, Kazmir, I think he also is a free agent at the end. But coming home, they might have already talked. He might like to stay here. Sometimes I always like to look at what does this trade do for next year. But when you look at the Royals, got to remember, Royals are not looking at it as a wild card.
They're not worried
about next
year.
They're a divisional winner, so they're in a best of five, best of seven. If you're the Astros, if you're going to lose out to the Angels, you might be making deals. I'm not saying they're going to give up the division, but they could be in the one-game playoff. I always have to laugh. How much are the Cubs, the Pirates, going to sell for one game? How much are you going to put in? You're going to get one game. You're trying to get one game. I don't know.
And like I said, this series is going to be – you hate to say a series in late July means so much, but they, like Julia said, they don't face the Angels again.
You better take care of business
for
now.
For 2 months. And then their schedule, depending on how you look at it, is kind of odd. They play some good teams. But they're mostly, for example, they still play the Giants, but of course they're in the National League. They still play the Dodgers, who of course are also in the National League.
And you're playing two teams that are in a playoff chase. So these trades, because now if you're now you want to play Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay just lost Longoria. They lost Zobrist.
Yeah, they do have some series with the Rays.
So you want to play Tampa Bay right now. You want to play Cincinnati. You want to play the teams that are unloading these guys and maybe get a walk for two or three games.
We will. We'll see. It's going to be an interesting one. Again, starts tonight. Root Sports, 7 o'clock. Or 7:10, I believe, is McCullers.
I'll bring up sore point. Now, why isn't Root on Suddenlink? Because they got more work a deal with Suddenlink. Suddenlink doesn't want to pay.
Well, it's kind of a new thing, I think. Yeah, okay. I don't think Suddenlink's picked them up yet. So I'm not in charge of all that. If you have Suddenlink, maybe call and complain.
Give up the Hallmark Channel for that?
Yeah, I don't know. You get the Longhorn Network, but you don't get Root Sports.
Who would have thunk the Astros? See, last year didn't matter because Astros were so bad.
And they were on CSN Houston, which nobody got. Not even most people in Houston didn't get it. So.
Got it in Saskatchewan, Alaska.
Yeah. Maybe you got it inside Minute Maid Park, but otherwise, I don't know.
On your app.
We'll see. Should be a fun night. We're going to go to break. We'll come back, talk a little soccer maybe. Then we're going to talk a little Bombers later on. We've got lots still to come on the show. Send us your text, 229-1939. What do you want to talk about? And stay with us. Agony Nation powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
It's summertime and a great time for sizzling hot deals at Normandy Tractor. If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Normandy Tractor. At Normandy Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. Normandy Tractor has the new Kubota L2501 HST 25 horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front end loader, 5-foot land pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Priced with an incredible $800 finance rebate, $700 implement rebate and a $500 cash rebate, making your price only $18,395 or $241 per month. Norman G asks you, why buy used when you can buy new with prices and payments as low as these? Norman G Tractor is aggressively pricing all equipment bought with your new tractor, so now is the time to make the drive to Norman G Tractor. Voted best of the Brazos since 2002. Remember to shop the internet specials too at normangtractor.com. Norman G Tractor, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Norman G, Texas. And remember, nobody beats Norm G Tractor.
Fall into fun with Bryan Broadcasting's Brazos Family Magazine. Find out how to keep your kids healthy with an article on the important checkups your child needs for back to school. And be sure to check out our after school activity guide. Brazos Family is a local magazine full of local stories. For information about advertising in this back to school issue of Brazos Family Magazine, call Sam Jones at Bryan Broadcasting or email Sam at BryanBroadcasting.com.
Texans are teaming up to reduce teen pregnancy.
We're teaming up by starting the conversation.
We're teaming up to educate our community.
We're teaming up to mobilize a coalition.
When it comes to reducing teen pregnancy in our communities,
we're teaming up to make a difference.
OurTownForTeens.org is helping communities all over Texas reduce teen pregnancy by putting the resources you need at your fingertips. OurTownForTeens.org. Team up. We can do this.
Hobby Bridge is an Aggieland tradition, serving their mouth-watering food for over 20 years to the folks of the Brazos Valley. And they want to invite you to enjoy a burger that you've come to know and love, which has been named Best of the Brazos for over a decade. And enjoy their award-winning goodness with $1.75 drafts all day, every Wednesday at both locations. Hobby Bridge, serving Aggieland the best big burger in town for over two decades. On Harvey and Welburn, both in College Station.
Each Wednesday evening, grab a friend and grab your clubs and head out to the Travis Bryan Municipal Golf Course.
It's the Zone Shootout.
It's a two-person, nine-hole shotgun start scramble tournament with prices for net, gross, and skins. Prices for net, gross, and skins. Make sure to register your team by 3 o'clock day of. And the cost is only $28. For more info or to check out the weekly winners, visit the events tab at zone1150.com. Grab a friend and grab your clubs and head out to the Travis Bryan Municipal Golf Course.
It's the Zone Shootout.
Visit the events tab at zone1150.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
Welcome back.
Don't sweat the technique.
Robert Bloom, Robert Cessna. See, Senior Dave, you've covered a lot of different sports and a lot of different coaches. Have any of them ever threatened to hit you before?
You know, it's funny you should mention that. That's the first thing. You have coaches eventually spit on you if you've been in a situation. I always like to tell a story, and I've told it before, is when Eric Dickerson visited here, I was a young reporter, and Tom Wilson, I would say, is a young coach, and I want to preface that Tom Wilson and I consider, how would you say, a friend, you in the business, you cover him. Good working relationship. Well, back then, turns out Tom Wilson promised Eric Dickerson if he'd come here to take a visit, he wouldn't have to talk to the media. So I always remember they're playing the University of Houston basketball that Saturday, and he's sitting beside, if he's listening right now, he was sitting beside Jacob Green, was showing Eric Dickerson around. And they're sitting over there in the student section, so I'm out there for the Eagle covering the game. It was like one of those 11 a.m., 1 p.m. games. So I walked over to start asking Eric Dickerson questions about how his recruiting trip was. And I kneeled down, da-da-da. And he goes, no, man, no questions. No answer, no questions. And Jake Green says, you don't want to talk to him, da-da-da. And back then, baggies were middle of the road. I had a tendency to pick them to lose, and that irritated some people. And just then, Tom Wilson comes up and puts his arm around me. He says, come on, Robert, you can't talk to him. I promised him he wouldn't. And I go, well, I got a chance to ask him questions as a reporter, And so he goes, no, come on. So Tom Wilson escorted me out in the hallway and said you weren't going to talk to him. And, of course, I'm just a rookie reporter. Needless to say, I got a little bit hot. Being a little rookie. And so I go over there to veteran reporters. There's Jerry Wizik, Houston Chronicle, and da-da-da. And they go, what happened? And I go, they wouldn't let me talk to them. Where today, people would go nuts. Back then, it was a little bit more. They go, oh, okay. And it's like, I'm mad. So I go back to the office, and I sit down. Had a typewriter back at those days. And so I start typing, and the manager said, well, I said, they wouldn't let me talk to Eric Dickerson. I said, I'm going to write a column. He goes, nah, you're not. He goes, Tom Wilson's already called, talked to the publisher, da-da-da. You're not going to write anything about that. I go, needless to say, I had a little bit of a meltdown. And then later, like a couple weeks later, Tom Wilson comes up, hey, I probably should have told you guys, didn't handle well. And ever since then, Tom Wilson and I have been pretty good friends, but didn't appreciate that at that point, saying like you weren't going to talk to him. So that's one time that I really got hot.
Well, I bring it up because last week, reportedly, this is a quality story. Last week, reportedly, in the airport following the Gold Cup Championship.